Hello again, this is KWCA President and Seaman High School Head Coach Patrick Kelly with another edition of the KWCA Podcast. One of the most important functions of the KWCA is recognizing excellence in our sport. From the Coach of the Year awards to those that contribute in other areas to help Kansas wrestling prosper and grow, we can be proud of their efforts. The marquee recognition each year goes to the Hall of Fame recipients. The names jump off the page: Zach Roberson, Joe Say, Jody Thompson, Melvin Douglas, Bunt Spear, just to name a few. The recipients and their families are invited to a banquet that concludes the fall clinic each year. The clinic is named after Fritz Knorr, former K-State wrestling coach and charter member of the Hall of Fame when it was formed in 1971. A plaque with a picture and a biography of each recipient is hung in Gross Memorial Coliseum on the campus of Fort Hays State University, where generations of wrestling and general sports fans can admire the heroes of Kansas wrestling. Kansas wrestling has enjoyed its share of success over the years at the national and even international level. Behind the scenes, that success is fueled by programs, processes, funding, and opportunities to compete. An influential name behind the efforts and success of Kansas wrestling in the 1970s and 80s is Dr. Ken Coover, who will be enshrined this year as a contributor in the KWCA Hall of Fame. Ken served as head coach at both Hays High and Topeka High in the 70s and 80s. His teams finished in the top 10 at state on 6 occasions. During that time, he also took to the mats as a certified official. It is his work within the Olympic styles of wrestling, however, where Ken set himself apart. He worked at the highest levels of the sport as a pairing official. He was part of helping organize and conduct the 1988 Olympic qualifier that was held at the Expo Center in Topeka. Coover also served as executive director of Kansas Kids Wrestling Federation from 1977 through 1980 and state director of USA Wrestling Kansas from 1980 through 1989. I recently had a chance to catch up with Dr. Coover. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How did you get involved in wrestling, and what are some of your fondest memories as a competitor, coach, administrator, and pairings official?
Well, actually, it was my brothers that started wrestling for me. I had two older brothers. And the program was started in our old town about the time my oldest brother was a junior in high school. And back in those times, there was only... We were a little school out in western Kansas, and we had to... At that time, they went to Wichita to wrestle Capon and Newton and Hutchinson, and then went to Garden City and Liberal. So the trips were pretty long back then. And it wasn't much better. We're talking 1955, and it wasn't much better in 1965, because there's by the time I was a senior, Great Bend had started and Dodge City had started, but we were still wrestling, and Ulysses and Hugoton had added the program, but we were still wrestling Liberal, Garden City, St. Joe's Military Academy. It's called Thomas More now. In that hall of gym, it was really noisy in there. They'd always bring the boys out of study hall, and it was really rackety noisy in that old concrete gym. But Jerry Sadowski was the coach up there, and we still had to travel long ways. We had to go to Russell, we had to go to Swan, and so forth. But the year that I was a senior, our district tournament, they called it district back then, was in Salina. Salina High School at that time was about 2,300 students, and Hutchinson was there, and Newton was there, Junction City was there, Abilene, Chapman, who else was there, Manhattan was there, and put 7 guys in the finals and won that tournament going away. That was a fun memory. We had a good time there. And although I wasn't a champion, there were 5 other guys. A kid from Salina High beat me, but we had plenty of other guys that won. We won it 185, 65. We won it 32. And it was really funny. He wrestled a kid from Chapman, the only athlete that guy had, and he was begging our coach to let have Dwight not pin him, but that didn't happen. Anyway, it was a stellar moment in high school for us. As a coach, I was in two different situations. I was at Hays High and Topeka High School. And in both those situations, back then they only had 12 weight classes, and I was fortunate enough to take both those teams with full squash to the state meet. So we started pretty much from scratch. The kids didn't know a whole lot, but by the time I left, I had probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 state place winners there, state champion. Had some kids that were grand champion, grand state. But from there, I went to, I spent a year in Derby. And the only reason being, I went down to Derby because I was going to help one of my college buddies. But he'd got out before I knew it and was there. His wife had cancer, and he wanted to get out to be close to her. But anyway, they didn't pick me for the job, so I hung around there a year and then went to Topeka High School. And again, there were times I had 60 kids out for wrestling. One year I had enough for 2 full freshman team. It was hard finding meets, but we found tournaments in Leavenworth and Lawrence and a couple other places, so we were able to keep kids busy. And we had... And in each of those 2 stops, I had league championships. And actually, there were several years in there. The only loss we had was we either had lost to Seaman and Emporia, or we just lost to Emporia. So there wasn't. When I went to Topeka High School, people didn't understand hand fight position. They didn't understand go-to technique. They didn't understand. They didn't understand anything. So the kids' program weren't real big. At that time and space, so it's coach against coach, and that was easy. You can out-coach coach if you know what you're doing, and it was a whole lot of fun. There were probably 7 schools that never beat me. One night we wrestled, and he begged me to wrestle. Washburn Rural had some kids, and I said, well, he wanted to wrestle my B team. Well, that was a mistake. He come in, we beat him 72-0. With my B team. He wasn't a friend very long after that. He didn't care for that. It was my B team. What was I supposed to do? Tell him to lose? So, but anyway, we had a lot of good kids, and I had a lot of fun. The first position I had was, I believe it was a kids director. And I was only in that for a couple of years, but it was tumultuous. It was in the late 70s. I'd been to kids' state tournaments since 71 or 70, and I'd met some of the guys like Tom Faust and Doc Hagan and some of those guys that really started the program. And Tom told me they started kids' program around 1961 with just guys in the neighborhood down there. So, but time I met Tom was like 71 when they had the tournament in the roundhouse there in Wichita. And it was a good tournament. I learned a lot, and I met Tom, and he became a real good friend. But as an administrator in the kids program, they kind of threw me in there. Ben had been the kids program. Tony Bontz had been, he was kids director of the country 1 year, and I was a couple years later. But the whole program in Kansas, that time was an experimental lab for USA Wrestling because we were just an open slate. Oklahoma was puzzled up with AAU and Tulsa, and around Oklahoma City, there were a lot of guys at Mustang and everybody were trying to get into the USA thing, but it was a struggle down there to get them to cooperate. But we were a brand new slate, and I know that Bob Dillinger used us as his example for the rest of the country in a lot of stuff. Because we had more kids teams in Kansas, in other words, towns that supported the program. We had more in just USA. We didn't have that many in AAU. We had all our kids were in USA, which was around 5,500, 6,000 at that time. And we had more volunteers. Of course, we're only talking about USA. We're not talking about anything that might happen in the AAU program, because that's what they were centering around on that lawsuit, was about, where's your numbers? Here's our numbers. And it drug on for 8 or 9 years, but they used us for example, when I was in Derby, Tom and I sit down and wrote the kids' constitution, if that's what it's called. I can't remember now. And he was so detailed, and he was so clear. He's such a clear thinker. He was a state champion in the state of Ohio, and he wrestled Ohio State. He got his engineering degree, and he was at Boeing as an engineer. But he spent most of his life in Derby. And I was more or less the secretary. We didn't have computers, and we didn't have email, and we didn't have, everything was snail this, snail that. So I did the typing, and Tom did the, he had all these bits and pieces in his mind. He had examples of certain things, but when we put it down, it took us probably a better part of 2.5 months. By the time USA Wrestling was really cranking around about 78, they brought in the competitor card, which was an insurance card. And I had to institute that in the state of Kansas with the biggest program in the country. And it was all snail mail. So I had to I sent out all this crap, and they sent back the money and all their people. Then I had to send the cards. It was a huge undertaking. And I hated it. And I was only the kids director a couple of years, and then Greg Rader took over. So I took over as a junior director. And by that time, Dillinger had sent all over the country the example of our kids' constitution. So bits and pieces of that are in a lot of states. And maybe the whole thing, I don't know. I know the kids, the guys here, it's a dynamic document. I know they've changed it a little bit, but I bet the bones are still there. So I wrote an umbrella program that included everybody. Boy, the kids people just hated my guts. They said, "You're trying to get our money. You're trying to get our..." I said, "I don't want your money." I said, the card was put in place so that every state program would have some way of being able to finance certain things. And this money that is used for us to get stuff to you comes out of that money. They were calling me commander, and they were calling me major. It was pretty stressful, but I weathered through that. I think I finally gave it up about, well, it was after the U.S. Open in 1988. I'd had enough, but I vowed after that time I got out of wrestling pretty much altogether. I had a heart attack, and it was time for me to go, and I got rid of a lot of stuff. But as an administrator, it's really hard in those times. And I think I was in Anaheim doing a world championship when we found out that we'd won the lawsuit. And that was like 1983, somewhere in there. And I think Dillinger is the one that told me. Ben was out there too at that time. I think, no, he went out for the Olympics next year. And I was the alternate for that game. I didn't get to work it. But out at that tournament, I didn't run it, but I was on the table, and I was a weigh-in master. And I did get Alexander Medved's signature, but I've since lost it. I don't know where it's at. But if I'd have hung in there, I probably would have been the chief official in Atlanta. The gal that did that tournament, Sue Sire, I trained her. And I think Sherry Elvin, I trained her too. I think she would have probably did the next one if we'd have had another one here, because she was really getting good. And that kind of a tournament like that is a huge math problem anyway. It's just, that's all it is. And in every instance, the people that I trained were right there in front of me telling me, you know, you got to drop mats, you got to drop. I said, you know, in the next 5 minutes I would have, but I wanted to push you guys to see if you really felt it needed. And they all sparkled and shined. They were really good at it.
You were involved in some major competitions. Tell us about some of them and some of the wrestling names that you were around at those events.
Well, I think I did every U.S. Open tournament from 1973 on until 1988 or 1987, I don't remember. But you could see a whole bunch of people. And be around people like DuPont, John DuPont. Just to sit and watch the competition was something else, because I was always on the pairing table doing something, either running a stupid thing or being part of the help. But Aside from those, I did the sports festival in Houston, all the Olympic trials and all that. I did in 80 before I believe before the Korean Games, they had a ladder that looked a little strange. They had a bunch of qualifying tournaments all over the country, and I did Ames, and I did Bismarck, North Dakota, and I did Independence, Missouri, and there was another one, I don't remember. That same year, we had the final qualifier here, and for that, some strange reason, they put the freestyle and Greco-Roman together, so it was really a good tournament. USA Wrestling has been a huge benefit to the program. Our ladder is so strong now in every weight class that it's just hard to believe that the Iranians can handle us. I think our kids are just super. But the other guys, man, they're just tougher than nails now. But anyway, enough said about tournaments and all the stuff that goes on around them.
The KWCA Hall of Fame honor, what does it mean to you to be in the KWCA Hall of Fame?
I always thought it'd be fun to be in the Hall of Fame. I wasn't sure that I was ever had enough stuff as a contributor, as a coach, as a volunteer, as a fan. There's some guys that said I was just too damn overboard about wrestling, it's too gung-ho, but to ever be in the Hall of Fame, because some of the people I put in there have done, you know, Dwayne Miller, I put him in, a lot of these guys have a whole lot better credentials to me, so being put in is phenomenal from my standpoint. I can't be more happy for the kids I've been around, the people I've been around. I know they're all contributors. So, yeah, it's going to be quite fun that night.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join the program today. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame honor, and on behalf of the board, we are looking forward to seeing you at the banquet.
Okay, we'll be there. Thank you.
This has been KWCA President Patrick Kelly reminding you to get your registration in to the 2017 KWCA Fritz Knorr Ball Clinic, slated for October 7th in Salina. And don't forget about the Leadership Academy on Friday the 6th and the Wrestling Summit Saturday night after the banquet. Until next time, thanks for listening.